Christ, we're going to get started here, and they're passing out a little sheet to all of you that's going to be a song. If I can transfer all of that to you, I'm not a song leader or one who teaches songs, but there's enough sheets there for you to share, you know, two on one sheet. I think that's good enough. And I ought to have one up here, if I can get one of those, Manuel. These words on this piece of paper come in the context of James chapter 4. I'll just read it to you here quickly from verse 4 following. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy, or lusteth enviously? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now that's the context of these verses, and it's a song. I don't know. Does anyone know this song? Let me see anybody's hands if you know it. Wow, good. You just cut my task in half. Wonderful. Because I was wondering how I'm going to transfer this. So let me give a little explanation here, and we'll go. In each one of these verses, it's sung responsively. The brothers begin, then the sisters follow. Two times, then down in the bottom part, we're looking at the first verse there. Everybody sings it together, we sing it twice. Then you go to the second verse and the third. It's a beautiful song. The spirit of the music fits the spirit of the words. And that is a perfect song. When the spirit of the music fits the spirit of the words, you have a beautiful song. And so, this is one of those. It's done in a bit of a sad tone, but that's the spirit of the words. Amen? So, I'm going to lead it, and you sisters, you have to keep your eye on me. When I go like this, that means you sing, and then you'll get it. So us men will start, and then you sisters will follow, and then we'll sing together on the last part. And then let's try it. Okay, on the men's side. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up, and He shall lift you up. You get that? Now, if we can get into the spirit of those words, it will be very good for all of us. Amen? Let's do verse 2. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You believe that? Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come seeing these words to you, Lord. We come uniting our hearts to these words, Father. We come worshiping you this morning in this second session of Bible school. Lord, we acknowledge that we need you. We need you desperately, Father, to come and help us, each one of us. Oh God, as we're sitting here, we are sitting under the sound of the eternal truths of the Word of God. Lord, we need you to come and help us to hear. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts that are willing to respond to the things which we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you just keep those sheets? We'll try to do that every day. I'm sure we'll get better as the week goes by. All right. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Welcome to Bible school. What a joy and a thrill to be here. We've been planning for you for a long time. And I want to say that you are worth all the planning. To see your faces this morning, hearts and faces lifted up, wanting to learn and grow, it's worth all the labors. Well, as usual, I've changed my title a bit since they printed that on the sheet. I'm just kind of known for that, I guess. But I want to give you the title. It's the same. We're going to talk about disciples, but I've given it a different title. Here's the title of our sessions this week. And the title is the confession, a confession. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is the title. That title is a confession. We're going to look into the depths of what those words mean. And I trust that as we make our way through the week, your heart will unite more and more with the reality of that confession, that by the end of the week, if not already in the beginning of the week, it is in fact the confession of your heart and your life. But we want to give some definition to that. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we're going to cover the subject of discipleship. This confession, when I use that word, I use it in a biblical sense. A confession is a statement of covenant joined with belief in one's heart. That's what a confession is. It is a profession joined with possession of the reality of what I am saying. Now, that's what the word confess means in the Bible, by the way. Now, it's gotten watered down, and we ought to probably put a true in front of it, or a real in front of it, or one of those words to prop it up. But if you go to what the Bible says about it, a confession or profession is that which is spoken out of the mouth, out of the depths of believing it inside of the heart. And that's the way that I mean it. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. In the biblical sense, it is the confession that you would make this morning. If a bunch of soldiers walked through that door this morning and lined themselves up here in front of you and pointed a gun at you, and told you, if you stand and confess Jesus Christ, we're going to blow your brains out. That confession is the confession that you would make if you were one of those brave souls who stood up to your feet and looked into the bullets and said, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what we mean by confession. That's what confession means in the Bible. That's what confession meant in the early church. Romans. Well, let's go to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll get a little bit of an insight on this confession. This morning's session is introduction. I don't expect to get to any of the major points on discipleship until tomorrow. But let's just look in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus was instructing the apostles, the 12 that he had chosen, after a night of prayer alone in the mountain somewhere. He chose 12 apostles, and he's getting ready to send them out, and he gives them some instructions before he sends them out. And he says these words in chapter 10 and verse 28. He says to them, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, that's that word that I've already defined to you. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And by the way, that confess is just as deep as the other one. If we have out of the depth of our being a confession that we are a disciple of Jesus, Jesus will stand before his Father someday and confess out of the depths of his being your name before the Father. Beautiful, beautiful picture. But, verse 33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And we won't say any more about all those precious verses, but I wanted to read them because it's in the context of confessing, so we understand in the beginning of these sessions what we're talking about. We're not talking about the way it is today in this land of ours where it's popular to be a Christian and there's not much cost at all in standing up and saying, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're talking about the depth of a commitment that flows out of a heart and into the mouth which says, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Another portion of Scripture that will help us to understand the depths of this word, confession, is found in Romans chapter 10. Let's turn over there quickly. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 8, Paul says these words. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And what is it, Paul? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's far enough to read for this morning. But again we see that some powerful things begin to happen when there is something that is inside of you that is confessed out of your mouth. But it doesn't do anything if there's nothing on the inside. You know, any more than taking a sinner into the water makes him a Christian. If there's nothing in his heart, he goes in a wet sinner and he comes out a wet sinner. Amen? It must be in the heart. It's the kind of confession that those 3,000 made on the day of Pentecost. Amen? I mean, here it is. Jesus, or Peter didn't have to say anything else to them. He didn't have to give them 10 lessons on discipleship that day. All he had to do is say one thing. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all he had to say. But to those 3,000 Jews who made that choice that day, that was no little choice. It had everything that we're going to speak about all this week wrapped up in that one statement that Peter made. And don't you believe otherwise. Those Jews who stepped forward that day and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, they lost everything that day. Everything. He didn't need to say anything else. It's like that dear Muslim that we saw come to the Lord Jesus up there in the north of Ghana, in Tamale. We witnessed to him out on the streets and told him all the things that he needed to hear. And finally one day he came to the motel where we were staying and he said, I'm ready to become a Christian. Go. Get down on your knees. He got down on his knees. And all he did was say this. He said, God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was converted right there. We saw his face change. His life lit up just by saying those words. Why? For a Muslim to say words like that, again, you take all the points of everything that I'm going to say all week long, and they were all wrapped up in that statement that that young man made that day. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Boom! Transformation from the inside out. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. It's the kind of confession that 32 Hutterites made a couple of months ago up in Manitoba. Amen? I mean, they stood there on the edge of the water and it was their time to get baptized, and they stepped into that water and they knew when they stepped down into that water they were leaving one life behind and picking up a new one when they walked out of the water. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy of everything we've got. Amen? Amen? Worthy of everything. It is a confession that is written deeply on the fleshly tables of our heart. You know, I think about the account given there in the book of Revelation, where judgment was coming and judgment was standing at the door, and the angel was ready to bring forth the judgment that he was allotted to release. And And another angel stopped him and said, wait, you know, don't do anything else until we seal the servants of God upon the earth. And the angel came forth with the seal of the living God. That's the way it says it in the Bible. There came forth an angel with the seal of the living God. And that word seal means signet or signature. He came forth with the signature of the living God. Now, young people, who do you suppose he wrote the signature of the living God upon? Did he just go around and say, you get it, you don't get it, you get it, you don't get it? No, he wrote the signature of the living God in the foreheads of those who had the signature of the living God in their heart. Amen? That's what he did. And that's what we're talking about this week. Oh, that God would, that your life would be so touched by God that your life, written across your life, is the signature of the living God. And that not just by the words you say, but by your very life is the signature written across you. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And everybody knows it, and you don't even have to tell anybody because they already know it because it's written across you. We want to be able to confess from the depths of our being with a will that has chosen, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to give some definition to this confession through the week. We will give definitions also in the form of a confession. So by the end of the week, if your heart can unite with what I'm talking about, you will have a confession of your faith. A confession of your faith. So, not only is the title given in the form of a confession, but every point we're going to look at will be given in the same way. A positive confession. Now, there are two words we want to look at, and we're just introducing here this morning. The first one is the word disciple. It simply means a learner. One who submits his heart to the Master and to His teachings. One who submits his heart to the Master and to His teachings. He is a learner. It's a very simple word, and that's exactly where God wants us to be, and He never wants us to get away from there. I was so blessed as I was studying for these messages to note that John, Brother John, the Apostle John, never called himself an apostle. Never once. I looked. He always called himself a disciple. He called himself a disciple. He called himself that other disciple. And he called himself probably the dearest words he could ever use. The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how John referred to himself. So it's a very simple word, a disciple. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is one who has submitted themselves to the master teacher and submitted themselves to the teachings of the master teacher. That's what we're talking about here today. And the other word that we want to look at is the word follow. It's another very simple word. Jesus used it a lot, didn't he, as he moved around in the beginning of his ministry. He said he'd look into the hearts of men and women and say to them, follow me. What does that word follow mean? Listen to this, young people. It means, join yourself to me and go with me on the path. That's what it means. Join yourself with me and go with me on the path. That was very interesting as I was studying it. You do not get the picture of Jesus down here on the path and the disciple back here on the path, and we're going to keep our eyes there and we're going to follow after him. No! That word, when Jesus said it to those in the days when he walked upon this earth, he said to them, come, follow me, come join yourself to me and go with me on the path. And that's exactly what the early disciples did, didn't they? They weren't 10 steps behind him, they went with him. And oh, young people, I want to assure you this morning that if God calls you and you hear his voice saying, follow me, he's not telling you, he's not going to tell you to go somewhere where he is not, and he's not just going to tell you to go somewhere where he has been. He's telling you, come, join yourself to me, and we'll go together on this path. Amen? Now, Jesus was not giving them a new way of life, young people. Jesus was not saying to them in His words, and He said many words while He walked upon the earth, He was not saying to those disciples, by the words that He gave them, I have started a new order. Follow my new order. I've got a new set of teachings, and I want you to follow my new set of teachings. Jesus was not saying that. It was much deeper than that. He was not saying, walk the path that I have walked. He was saying much more than that. He was saying, come, join yourself with me, and let us go together on the path that I have laid out for you. Isn't that encouraging this morning? I mean, if we look at the call to discipleship from the natural man's mind, which all of us, we're human beings, we have a tendency to look at it that way, it can be a bit scary, and you might draw back from it, and you may look at it and say, there's no way I can't do it, but Jesus is not wanting you to look at it that way. You must look at it in the context of the way that He gave it. Come join yourself to me, and let's go together. And see where your life goes, young people, if you'll do that. I discovered in a fresh and a new way a portion of Scripture in the Gospels which defines with clarity and depth what discipleship is. I'd like us to turn to Matthew just to read those Scriptures. And please forgive me if I seem like I'm rushing. I am. This clock is giving us a few challenges this morning. Matthew chapter 11 is where we want to read. What a beautiful, clarifying depth of vision of what discipleship is all about when Jesus spoke to those around Him there in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What a beautiful picture of discipleship. I mean, it's so beautifully balanced. It's so clear when you look at verses like that, that Jesus was not just setting a new order, so to speak, an example for the spiritual elite to walk. Certain ones are going to take this hard path. And no, Jesus was not giving a new order. He was inviting them to come to Himself. And then we'll go down this path together.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 4 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.